A New Beginning presents a timely book from Pastor Greg Laurie called God's Answer to Fear, Anxiety, and Worry.
God can help you in your times of anxiety and fear. There are specific passages that can bring comfort and perspective to you. And trust me, everything that I am talking about has been tested in my life in real time. So I hope you'll order your own copy of God's Answer to Fear, Anxiety, and Worry.
Yours for a gift of any amount at harvest.org.
Worry is a failure to trust God. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything.
Pastor Greg Laurie points out that worry is an excellent waste of time, energy, and emotion. We need to avoid it.
Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. The next time you're tempted to worry, pray instead. Turn your worries into prayer.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
Author Irma Bombeck was quoted as saying, "Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but doesn't get you anywhere." Matthew 6:27 is pretty frank. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us overcome fear and worry. In a new series, we're learning to adopt a biblical worldview. And we'll learn today that worldview doesn't include worry. We'll see worry and faith are mutually exclusive.
Let me start with a question. How many of you have ever been gripped by fear? You, yeah. You know the feeling well, that your blood goes cold, the shiver down the backbone, your mouth goes dry, the hair in your head is standing up. In my case, that's one singular hair, but still, you know, it's a terrifying feeling. Maybe it happened when your life was in danger, or you were gripped with the fear of death, or as you're listening to this, there's something you're afraid of right now. The amazing thing to me is we'll spend our hard-earned dollars to be scared. You know, we'll go to that super scary movie, and then when the scene comes on, that's a worst scene in the film, we cover our eyes. Wait, didn't you pay money to see that? Or you go to an amusement park and go on the most insane rides. A number of years ago, I decided I am just done with roller coasters. I don't know that I ever really liked them, but I was on a roller coaster and I was at the very top right before the drop. I remember looking down and looking at people standing there looking up there about the size of ants. And I thought I would give anything to be down there with them instead of being up here right now. And then the big drop and all that was so fun. It wasn't fun. It was scary, right? So we know what that feeling is. And then the thing that goes along with fear is worry. And there's so many things to be worried about. The state of our country, the economy, of course, terrorism. What's going on in this crazy world we're living in right now? Maybe that's why one of the top Google searches recently was, is World War III near? Then there are the other fears that we have, the fear of flying. I read that there's a lot of other things you probably should be afraid of. Did you know 600 Americans die each year from falling out of their beds? So maybe you should have a fear of going to bed tonight. And many die due to the fatal plunge down the stairs, the bite of sausage lodged in your throat, the tumble on the slippery sidewalk. And thinking, Greg, wait a second. I came to hear a message about overcoming it. You're giving me more things to be afraid of now. And then there are shark attacks. We have a lot of shark activity now off of our beaches here in Southern California. I saw a video that was recently shot, and there were some guys out doing stand-up paddle. You know what that is? You know, you stand up on the board and you paddle to catch waves. And they were waiting for a wave, and a helicopter flew over. It was the Orange County Sheriff, and so this is the exact announcement they made. I actually have a transcription of it. So imagine you're out in the water on your stand-up board, and you hear this ominous message from a loudspeaker of a helicopter, direct quote, be advised that the state parks are asking you to make an immediate exit because you are surrounded by 15 great white sharks. They're as close as a surf line. Just remain calm. Thank you for your cooperation. Why don't they just say, you're surrounded by 15 great white sharks. You're going to die. Repeat this out loud after me. Our Father, who art in heaven. Seriously, it's bad enough to say one or two or five, 15 great white sharks. Then they could psych him out and play the Jaws theme over the loudspeaker. Dun, 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 dun. No, that'd be horrible. But a lot of things to be afraid of today. And then there's the fears about our own life, maybe our family or our personal health. It's funny, with all that's going on in the world, I read that the number one thing that people worry about is their appearance. Their appearance. So it's like, yeah, I may be eaten by a shark or, you know, killed by a nuke, but how do I look in this outfit, right? So, it's funny how we are. So there's all these things that we worry about that don't help us at all, actually. In fact, John Curtis, director of the University of Wisconsin Stress Management Institute, says, quote, I believe that 90% of stress is brought on by not living in the present moment and worrying about what's already happened, what's going to happen, or what could happen. So here's what you need to know. Worry is not productive. And in fact, worry is a failure to trust God. It's interesting that the word worry comes from an old German word that means to strangle or to choke. Sometimes my grandkids like to choke me from behind. They find this entertaining. And they'll come up and say, Papa, we want to choke you. No, don't do that. Because sometimes, you know, I pass out. I haven't really. But, you know, but that's what worry does. It chokes you out. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. I think we should take a cue from the Australians, or the Aussies as they're called. When you go down under, these are very relaxed people and very friendly people. And whenever you ask an Aussie for something, maybe directions or anything else, after they give you what you ask for, they'll say this, no worries, mate. Hey, thanks a lot, man. No worries, mate. Good on you. And I like that. No worries, mate. And that's actually theologically correct. It's been said, worry is the advance interest you pay on troubles that seldom come. So let's try to stop worrying. You say, well, it's easy for you to say, well, I know, but I want you to consider who wrote the words we're about to read. They were written by the Apostle Paul under adverse circumstances. When Paul wrote the words we're about to read, he was under house arrest. He had gone to Rome to preach the gospel and instead was arrested. And he didn't know what his future held. He might be acquitted. He might be beheaded. This could be his last day. He knew nothing about his future. But he gives to us some of the most inspiring words found in the pages of Scripture, a series of verses that every believer should know and even commit to memory. I'm talking about Philippians 4, starting in verse 4, and we'll read down to verse 8. Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Or literally, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And look at this promise. And the peace of God that passes all human understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I love these verses. And Paul's not in some ivory tower spinning off impractical theories. He's not laying on some beach in the Mediterranean eating a falafel and having an iced tea. This is a guy who, as I said, was incarcerated, yet he is able to say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. By the way, that is a command from God himself. So understand this, rejoicing is a scriptural command and it's not a suggestion. Let me put it another way. To not rejoice is disobedience to God. But we will justify worry and we'll say, no, it's okay for me to worry because I'm in a difficult situation. Well, in many ways, we all are, some more than others. But maybe we just all need to lighten up a little bit when we can. You know, I think all of us know people that are just a downer to be around. It's Debbie Downer and her husband, Bobby Buzzkill, right? So whatever's going on, that they see the dark side of it. No matter what, they can't appreciate it. You know, you have a great meal. Man, that was a great meal, wasn't it? I am so full. And Bobby Buzzkill will say, yeah, it's too bad there are people starving in other parts of the world right now. Thank you, Bobby, for living up to your name, Buzzkill. Oh, look at this beautiful sunset. Look what the Lord made. That, well, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, says Debbie Downer. Will you stop already? You know, you can find joy. You can find humor. You can find something to rejoice about in some very difficult circumstances. Paul is saying, in effect, look, guys, if anyone knows what it's like to be afraid, it's me. But yet I'm telling you, rejoice in the Lord always. Listen, anyone can rejoice when things are going reasonably well. But when you're facing adversity or sickness or hardship or death, and then you rejoice, well, then you are obeying God. Habakkuk 3:17 says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in the God of my salvation. Man, he was having a hard day, wasn't he? We could update that with words, something along the lines of this: even though the economy is bad, and they're downsizing at work, and insurance rates are up, and the car's out of gas, and I'm sick, I'll still rejoice in the God of my salvation. You don't rejoice when things get better. You rejoice no matter how things are going. It doesn't say rejoice when you feel good. It doesn't even say rejoice when things are going well. It says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's in the Lord. The Lord's on his throne. God is in control. The God who is in control loves you and cares about you and is watching out for you. So rejoice in the Lord.
In just a moment, Pastor Greg highlights a three-step biblical plan for overcoming worry. Practical insight is just ahead.
Hey everyone, I want you to know about our app called Harvest Plus. Think of it as a harvest version of Netflix. We have all of our resources in one place. We have our movies like Steve McQueen, The Salvation of an American Icon, Johnny Cash, Redemption of an American Icon, A Rush of Hope, and much more. Then we have our television program, daily devotions, and much more. So go and download the Harvest Plus app.
And now Pastor Greg continues his message called The Biblical Worldview on Overcoming Fear and Worry.
So now Paul is going to tell us how to overcome worry. This is the biblical worldview on overcoming fear and worry. Three elements I want to bring to your attention. It's right praying, verses 6-7. It's right thinking, verse 8. And finally, right living, verse 9. So right praying, right thinking, right living. Let's start with the first one, right praying. The next time you're tempted to worry, pray instead. Turn your worries into prayers. This is called developing a conditioned reflex as compared to a natural reflex. We all have natural reflexes. You know, when the doctor tells you to cross your legs or and then he hits you with that little device and the little thing, your leg shoots out. It's a natural reflex. It's amazing. Or if you touch something hot, you immediately pull back. You don't have to teach that even to a toddler. They know when they touch something hot, it hurts. They pull their hand back. That's a natural reflex. But then there's a conditioned reflex. Now, that is something you're taught to do. And after you've done it so many times, it becomes natural to you. For instance, standing during the national anthem. That's a show of respect. That's a conditioned reflex. I was taught to do that. Or putting my hand over my heart when I say the Pledge of Allegiance. That's a conditioned reflex. I learned to do that. Now I automatically do that. You could compare it to driving a car. Do you remember the first time you drove a car? What a mystery a car was. I was out on the road the other day and I saw a car ahead of me. On top of the car, it said, student driver. on the right side of the car, big sign, student driver. On the left side, student driver. On the back, another sign, student driver. I gave wide berth to that car because I know they don't know what they're doing yet. And sure enough, they're driving along. They stop for no reason. The right turning signal is on. They turn left, so he's given a lot of space. They're figuring it out. And I remember what it was like for me when I first learned how to drive. And the thing that was really hard for me to figure out was a manual transmission, you know, a stick shift. Because it's like, okay, you push the clutch in and then you let out the gas, but you have to be in gear and the brake pedal and the clutch are different. Don't hit one instead of the other. So you're jerking and stopping. But after a while, you get in your car, you're driving, you're eating a burrito, you're talking on the phone, you're changing the radio, all at the same time, of course. This is not recommended, but, you know, the idea is that it comes naturally because you taught yourself to do it. You say, okay, what's the point of this? So here's our natural reflex. When something scary comes, when something threatening comes, when something that alarms us comes, we freak out and we need to teach ourselves to pray. The natural reflex is panic. The condition reflex, and I might add the biblical response, is to pray. So Paul says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And I like the fact that he says, in everything by prayer, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 6. He did not say, in only the big things, in only the super big, gnarly, scary things in prayer. No, in everything. God's interested in big things. God's interested in little things. God's interested in whatever concerns you. Because sometimes little things turn into big things rather quickly, don't they? Little problems can suddenly become big problems. Maybe you're struggling a little bit with drinking and it seems that you're getting a hold of you and you think, well, I'm okay. I'll take care of this on my own. Or you have this little issue of looking at porn on the internet and it's becoming worse. A little thing's becoming a big thing. You need to start praying right now and ask God to help you deal with that situation. Or you watch your children grow up and when they're really small, they look so sweet and innocent. You think, do I even need to pray for them? They're wonderful. And then they get a little older and then they hit the terrible twos and then they become even a bit older. And then one day they're preteen and all kinds of strange things start happening. And preteens are like teenagers today, aren't they? And it doesn't help when we have publications like Teen Vogue out there. I've read some of the articles that they put out. I don't know why, but a Teen Vogue came to my house the other day. They should be sending me Elderly Vogue. I don't know. Frankly, I don't want any Vogue. Because as far as I'm concerned, what they say is out of vogue. It's out of sync with God's word. One issue that I read was telling people what to do after your friend has an abortion. This is for teenagers. And it was almost in its way encouraging abortion. Then a new issue deals with sexual matters. I will not deal with specifically in this message, but let's say it's entirely inappropriate. And it was actually, in many ways, a how-to manual and how to do things that people shouldn't be doing, much less teenagers. This is my point. This is a culture that's out of sync with God. But with all of these things that are going on around us, we want to bring everything to the Lord and especially our children. I love how the mothers brought their children to Jesus and the disciples rebuffed them. And the mothers were even more persistent. It says in the original language, they kept bringing their children to Jesus. And parents, you need to keep bringing your children to Jesus from the earliest to the later years. Don't ever stop praying for your kids. Pray for them when they're young. Pray for them when they're teenagers. Pray for them when they're college age. Pray for them when they're young adults going out into the world. Pray for them when they hit middle age. That's when you know you're getting old, when your children are middle aged. Keep praying for them. Big things, little things, in everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known to God. Notice it says, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, that's an important element before the prayer is answered. Because I take time to worship my Father and remind myself of His greatness and power. And in doing so, I automatically put my own problems into their proper perspective. When I see God in His glory, I see my problems the way I should see them. Big God, small problems. Big problems, small God. That is why the Lord taught me in the Lord's Prayer to pray as follows. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then it goes on and gets to petitions eventually. But the point is it starts off with just acknowledging and recognizing the awesomeness and greatness of God and that I am giving Him praise even before my prayers are answered. We need to pray that He will have His will in our life and that we rejoice in the fact that He's in control.
Pastor Greg Laurie with good insight today on right praying, thinking, and living. And he'll have more insight as he continues this study called The Biblical Worldview on Overcoming Fear and Worry, including a final illustration before we close today. But Pastor Greg, to back up just a step, what would you say to the person who's not sure that they've ever come to the Lord and asked Him to be their Savior?
Yes, I think they need to make this commitment to Christ. Here's what the Bible says. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So you need to reach out to God. Not just think about it. Not just say, one of these days I would like to. Just do it. In fact, you can do it right now. You say, well, how do I call out to the name of the Lord? You do it through prayer. God is just a prayer away. He desires a relationship with you. He wants you to know Him. He wants to reveal Himself to you. So you just need to call out and say, Lord, save me and help me. How about if I lead you in a prayer? And you could pray this prayer after me. You can pray it out loud if you like. You can pray it quietly in your heart, but direct this prayer toward God, and you could pray it after me right now. You ready? Pray this after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you're the Savior, and I want a relationship with you. So as your word says, I'm calling on the name of the Lord. I'm asking you to save me from my sin, and I'm asking that we begin a new relationship today. Thank you for loving me and sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sin and then raising him from the dead. I now put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And listen, if you have just prayed that prayer along with Pastor Greg and you've meant those words sincerely, let us be the first to welcome you into the family of God. And we want to help you get started off right in this new daily walk with the Lord. Pastor Greg would like to send you his New Believer's Bible. It's a special edition of God's Word for those who are new to the faith, with scores of helps for new believers written by Pastor Greg. So get in touch and ask for the New Believer's Bible. We'll send it to you free of any charge. Just call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. 3300, or go online to harvest.org and click the words Know God. And Pastor Greg, we're so thankful for the work God is doing through this ministry.
Yeah.
We're touching lives for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really thankful for our friends who see the fruit of this ministry and invest so this work can reach even further. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. When you invest in Harvest Ministries, you're investing in the souls of men and women, boys and girls. And what is the value of a soul? Well, let me personalize it. What's the value of your soul? What's the value of the soul of your husband, your wife, your son or your daughter, or your mom or your dad, or your best friend? Well, I would say you probably couldn't put a price tag on it. It's so valuable. Well, listen, God says all souls are mine. God loves us and sent his son to die on the cross to pay the price for all of our sins so we could be forgiven and come into a relationship with him. I can't think of a better investment of my resources, of my money, than in the work of the kingdom of God. So we would ask you to prayerfully consider investing in Harvest Ministries as we continue on to fulfill the Great Commission.
Yeah, that's right. And you can make your donation right now at harvest.org or write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's a 24/7 phone number, 1-800-821-3300. In Philippians chapter 4, we find Paul's words to be anxious for nothing. Well, Pastor Greg closes with good insight on that passage.
In everything by prayer and supplication, praying for others with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what happens? And the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. By the way, that word there for keep in the original language is guard. The idea is if you put everything in God's hands and trust Him and rejoice even before you know the outcome, God will post a sentry outside of your heart. Sergeant Peace is guarding your heart. Have you ever experienced it? In the most crazy circumstances, you have peace in the middle of a storm. That is the peace that passes all human understanding. And it's a peace that God can give you no matter what you're facing right now. If you want personal peace, it comes down to thinking right and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best and not the worst, the beautiful and not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse.
Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out we find real peace when our thoughts and emotions are in harmony with the Lord.
If you want personal peace, it involves the heart and the mind.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
If you've run out of things to worry about, just turn on the news. It's one crisis after another, 24 hours a day. The old saying in the news business is, if it bleeds, it leads. But the Lord calls us to set our minds on things above. And today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie shows us why. When we've made our peace with God, it's so easy to enjoy the peace of God. Pastor Greg shows us how to enjoy a biblical worldview that's not mired in worry and fear.
Worry is a completely negative thing to have in your life. Actually, modern medical research has proven that worry breaks down our resistance to disease. It actually diseases the nervous system, specifically the digestive organs and the heart. 79 to 90% of all visits to primary care physicians are stress-related complaints. Now, this happened to me not long ago. I thought maybe I'm having a heart problem because I was feeling pressure in my chest. And I thought, well, is this a heart thing? And so I Googled symptoms of heart attack. It said pressure in chest. Yeah, I've got that. And then it said nausea. And I immediately felt nauseated. I mean, like right there, I felt nauseated. So I thought, I'm going to my doctor. I didn't even tell Kathy about this. She was out doing something. I drove to my doctor. I said, I'm afraid I might be having a heart attack. So he did an EKG on me. There was nothing wrong with me at all. Then the bill came a week later, and I did have a heart attack. Seriously, those things are expensive. Well, what I've been doing is I've been playing racquetball again. I used to do that many years ago. And in my attempt to get that crazy little ball, I've slammed up against the wall a few times. And so I bruised my chest hitting the wall. It's not a heart attack. It's just idiocy in action is what it actually is. But there's all these things that we worry about that don't help us at all, actually. So let's try to stop worrying. You say, well, it's easy for you to say, well, I know, but I want you to consider who wrote the words we're about to read. They were written by the Apostle Paul under adverse circumstances. When Paul wrote the words we're about to read, he was under house arrest. But he gives to us some of the most inspiring words found in the pages of Scripture, a series of verses that every believer should know and even commit to memory. I'm talking about Philippians 4, starting in verse 4, and we'll read down to verse 8. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing." Or literally, "Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And look at this promise. "And the peace of God that passes all human understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus." This is the biblical worldview on overcoming fear and worry. Three elements I want to bring to your attention. It's right praying, verses 6-7. It's right thinking, verse 8. And finally, right living, verse 9. So right praying, right thinking, right living. Let's start with the first one, right praying. The next time you're tempted to worry, pray instead. Notice it says, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, that's an important element before the prayer is answered. Because I take time to worship my Father and remind myself of His greatness and power. And in doing so, I automatically put my own problems into their proper perspective. When I see God in His glory, I see my problems the way I should see them. Big God, small problems. Big problems, small God. We need to pray that He will have His will in our life and that we rejoice in the fact that He's in control. Daniel's life is a perfect example of this. Here's Daniel the prophet, an older man at this stage of his ministry, ministering to the leader of Babylon, Darius. And Darius valued the counsel of Daniel. Well, Daniel had some competition. There were other advisors to the king that didn't believe in his God. And they didn't like the fact that the king favored Daniel. So they wanted to get rid of him. But the problem for them, at least, was there were no skeletons in Daniel's closet. No sin for them to uncover. So they said, the only way we're going to trip this guy up is we catch him doing something with him and his God. So they got the king to unwittingly sign a decree that no one could pray to any god except the king himself. And Daniel heard about it and went to his house and opened up the windows as he always did and got down on his knees and he prayed. But even more, he gave thanks to God. It's important to give thanks to God. I think it's a great thing when people pray over their food at home and even in public places. You know, when you're in a restaurant, bow your head and thank the Lord for your meal. It's a great witness, I think, to other people around there to see a family praying together, don't you? Just make sure you leave a tip, because that when you don't leave a tip, it's a bad witness to the server, okay? And be generous. Don't be a cheapskate. So, you know, the idea is that we're giving thanks to God even before we have the answer that we may be hoping for. Daniel prayed, the Bible says, and he gave thanks to God, and he made supplication for others. And this word is used here as well in Philippians. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Supplication is where you are praying for others. And sometimes praying for others puts your problems into perspective, right? Maybe you're having a hard day. Oh, I'm having such a hard day, Lord. I got a flat tire. Life is so hard. Why, God, would you allow this to happen to me? Then your Christian friend calls and says, would you pray for me? I just got the test back and I have cancer. Yes, I'll pray for you. And as you pray for them, suddenly you see how stupid you were being when you were complaining about your problem. Here's someone with a real problem and your heart goes out to them. And as you make supplication for them, it helps you put your own issues into perspective. And everything by prayer and supplication, praying for others with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what happens? And the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And it's a peace that God can give you no matter what you're facing right now. So if you want to overcome fear and worry, you need to have right praying. Then number two, you need right thinking. Right thinking, if you're taking notes, you might write that down. Verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure and lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. Here's another translation of that verse. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you do your best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best and not the worst, the beautiful and not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. I love this. If you want personal peace, it involves the heart and the mind. Because Isaiah 26 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. So think about what you think about. It's sort of like when you sit down to eat, it will affect you. For instance, I can't eat certain kinds of food late at night because I have acid reflux. What a drag it is. Because I love to eat food late at night. And I love spicy food. How many of you like spicy food? I love spicy. I'm like Tabasco sauce on everything. Cholula on everything. I love it, you know. And so I have to think about it. So it's maybe at night, maybe 8 or 9 o'clock. I'm hungry. Oh, I'd love to eat some Mexican food. No way. Italian food. No way, because a tomato is acidic. So I have to make other choices. Also, I can't drink caffeine after 7 o'clock because it will keep me up all night. So there's a cutoff point for me and coffee. So I have to think about it because I know that coffee or that food will have a direct effect on me. So I need to look at that in life in general. This thing, this show I'm going to watch on TV, what kind of effect will it have on me? This movie that I'm about to go to, what effect will this movie have on me? This music I'm going to listen to, what effect will this have on me? See, if you want personal peace, it comes down to praying right, and it comes down to thinking right, and it comes down to guarding what you put in your mind.
In a moment, Pastor Greg takes us to some words from the psalmist David about how to quiet our minds in times of distress. Good insight is coming next.
We're encouraged when we hear from families who have been impacted by the Harvest Crusades and Harvest Ministries.
In July, I traveled from San Francisco to hear Pastor Greg's message at Harvest 2024 in Anaheim, California. It was there that I rededicated my life to the Lord. The following week, I heard that Harvest was doing baptisms at Pirates Cove in Southern California, and so I surprised my 9-year-old daughter, who had wanted to be baptized, by driving back down so she could be baptized there. I have never heard a louder, "I love you, Dad." All I can say is that it has been one of the most memorable events in my life as a dad. A huge thank you to all at Harvest Ministries.
What a great story of this father and daughter. If you have a story to share, would you contact us and let us know? Email Pastor Greg. Send it to greg@harvest.org. That's greg@harvest.org.
Well, today, Pastor Greg is helping us think biblically. We're discovering that if our minds are in tune with the Lord, it will lower our fear and worry. Let's continue.
Why is the mind important? Well, because this is command central right here. And by the way, why am I bald? Because grass doesn't grow on busy streets. See, that's us bald people, we know all the jokes. Trust me, we've heard them all. But it's right here. I think about something before I do it. I contemplate it here in my mind first. You see, with my mind, I reach to the past through memories. I reach to the future through imagination. So I need to learn how to think properly and biblically. And as 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So the next time you're troubled, you might try talking to yourself. Say, Greg, are you out of your mind? No, well, listen to what I'm saying. Because we need to say to ourselves, think biblically. Because these things don't always come naturally. For instance, we see the psalmist in some despair in Psalm 42. He says in Psalm 42, verse 15, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? Know this, many of the psalms are songs and prayers, right? And they're honest. And as you read some of those psalms, he says things that you and I say. Well, I dare not pray that. No, go ahead and pray that. Lord, I'm hurting right now. I'm in pain right now. I don't understand this right now. I'm struggling with this right now. And so the psalmist says, why are you troubled, soul? Why are you disquieted? Then he sort of talks to himself and says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, for he is my Savior and my God. So sometimes you're getting down. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation. I'm afraid. And then you say, listen, self, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And the peace of God that passes all human understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Quote the Bible to yourself and remind yourself of the truth of God's word. That's what it means to think biblically. So it's right praying. And it's right thinking, and there's one more, right living. Right living, verse 9. These things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You cannot separate outward action and inward attitude. You need to live these things out in your life. Now, let me say this. Studies have found that 85% of the things that we worry about never happen. Okay, so all the stuff you're worrying about right now, I don't even know what it is. Like some of you are worrying, will he ever stop this sermon? Will this go on for? I don't know what you're worrying about. 85% of it, it's not gonna happen. So a lot of you, it's good to know. But some of you are thinking, yeah, but what about the other 15%? That's a good point. What about the other 15%? What about that fear or that worry? What if this happens? And then it does happen. In fact, not only does it happen, but something even worse than you were considering happens. What then? Well, then the Lord will be with you in your time of difficulty. Listen, God has not promised we're going to live in a pain-free world. It's been years since our son Christopher left us and went to heaven. And you never get over this. And I just talked to a couple who've been married 10 years longer than Kathy and I have, and they lost their son like 34 years ago. And they told me, you never get over it. It's because you don't expect your children to die before you. You expect you die, then your children will die. And it's out of the natural order. You don't ever plan on what kind of casket you'll choose for your child's funeral. And those are the kinds of issues you have to deal with when a child dies or when a loved one dies. And so you say, well, Greg, this is kind of scary to me and even a little frightening for you to even talk about this. Okay, I understand that, but we need to face facts. Loved ones are gonna die and hardship will come in our lives. Now, some live relatively pain-free lives, but the rest of us don't get out that way. We live in the land of the dying, but we're headed to the land of the living. You see, so that's the good news. But we have to face these things. But here's the good news. When death comes, and yes, it will come, we have this promise from Jesus when he says in Revelation 1:17, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. Oh, I'm so glad he holds the keys. If I had the keys, they would have been lost for years now. I lose every set of keys all the time. Just, I have these little things to find my keys. It's just pathetic. I even lose hotel keys, but Jesus never loses the keys. And he's saying, don't be afraid. I'll be there for you. So here's the thing. Most of the stuff you worry about isn't going to happen. And when things do happen, God will be there for you in the middle of it. You know, someone asked me not long ago, what was the most spiritual moment of your life? In other words, when is the time in your life when you felt God's presence more than any other? Well, I had to think about it. I thought, let's see. Was it the day of my conversion? Well, that was a wonderful moment. I still remember it vividly. That wasn't it. Was it the day I was baptized? Oh, I remember that day like it was yesterday. But that wasn't the most spiritual moment. Was it the day I married Kathy? As wonderful as that day was, that was not my most spiritual moment. And then I realized the most spiritual moment of my life, in other words, a moment where I felt the presence of God more than any other, was when I heard the news that my son had died and God was there with me. And here's my point to you. God will be with you, giving you what you need when you need it. Not necessarily before and never after. So don't worry about it. Don't worry. Remember that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy? I hated that song. But you know, theologically, it was right. So turn your worries into prayers. But let me just say this in closing. For some of you that have joined us here, you might be afraid today. You've come in here with something that scared you. Maybe it's a medical scare. Maybe it's a loved one that's died recently. Maybe you had a close brush with death, or you're just in panic about something. And here's what you need to know. God can remove that worry and replace it with a peace that passes all human understanding. And when you have all of your bases covered, you don't have to be afraid. You know why Daniel was able to sleep peacefully in the lion's den after he was arrested for praying publicly? It's because he knew he was in a win-win situation. Win-win. Option number one, he has a good night's sleep and uses a big fat cat for a pillow. Option number two, he's eaten by one of the cats and ends up in heaven. It was win-win. And it's the same for us. Our options are win-win. That's why Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain. So my option is this. I can live for the Lord, walk with the Lord, discover his plan for me in this life, and then when death does come, I go straight to heaven. It's win-win. It's a great thing to know. But if you're not a believer in Jesus, listen to this. It's lose-lose. Not win-win, lose-lose, not even win-lose. As some might think, it's lose-lose. Because in this life, you live with guilt. In this life, you live with the repercussions of your sin. In this life, you don't have the peace that passes all human understanding. In this life, you don't have God. And in the afterlife, you'll be separated from God for all eternity. Lose, lose. But you can change that today by believing in Jesus. You say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean by praying and asking God to forgive you of all of your sin. Because 2,000 years ago, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. And if we'll turn from our sin and believe in him, he will come and live inside of us. And we can know with certainty we'll go to heaven when we die. We're going to close now in prayer. And I'm going to extend an invitation for anybody here to believe in Jesus who has not yet made this commitment. So if you need Christ in your life, if you need this peace we've been talking about, if you want to be free from your fear and worry, respond to this invitation. Let's all pray. Father, thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. And now I pray for every person here who is in attendance or is watching or listening. If they don't know you yet, help them to come to you, help them to believe in you, and help them to be forgiven by you, we would ask now. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important prayer. And wherever you stand with the Lord today, you can make a change and make things right. Pastor Greg will help you do that in just a moment before today's edition of A New Beginning concludes. And then let us say a word of thanks to those who support us financially, those who make it possible for us to bring you these studies each day. We're definitely a listener-supported ministry. It's the generosity of listeners that help us be here with these programs. So if you've partnered with us, thank you. And if you have yet to partner with us, well, I hope you'll get in touch today and let us know that you're standing with us. Even a small investment would help. It's actually an investment in changing lives. Thank you for partnering with us. You can donate securely online at harvest.org or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call us at 1-800-821-3300. Again, that's 1-800-821-3300. Well, Pastor Greg, a few moments ago, you spoke of the need to get our hearts right with God.
Yeah.
Could you help someone who wants to do that right now?
Yes, I'd be delighted to. Listen, as you've listened to this program today, maybe something's been happening inside of your heart where you're sensing, I need to do this personally, but how do I do it and what do I do? Let me help you. It's very simple. In fact, it's so simple you may be shocked. God, this relationship with Him is just a prayer away. The Bible says, if you will call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. So I'd like to lead you in a prayer where you do just that. You call on the name of the Lord. You know, sometimes when I'm talking with someone one-on-one and they want to accept Jesus Christ, I'll have them pray a prayer after me. Maybe you'd like to do that right now. Thousands have done this over the years, listening to our broadcast, and the Lord has changed their lives. And it can happen for you right now. This can be the moment where you change your eternal address, literally, from hell to heaven. I'll pray a simple prayer, and I would just ask you to pray this prayer out loud if you like. After me, just pray these words. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you're the Savior who died on the cross for me and rose again from the dead. Jesus, I choose to follow you from this moment forward. In your name I pray. Amen. I know. It's such a simple, short prayer, but you just called on the name of the Lord. And you know what? He heard that prayer. And if you meant that prayer in your heart, He answered that prayer. Now let me help you to get started on the right foot in your new life in Jesus Christ. The greatest adventure awaits you, the life of walking with God. I want to send you what we call a New Believer's Growth Pack. What is that? Well, first of all, it's a copy of the New Believer's Bible. And by that I mean we have redone this from ground level up. I've rewritten the notes. And it's a New Living Translation with a lot of notes on how to grow spiritually woven through this unique edition of Scripture. So I'll send you the New Believers Pack that includes the New Believers Bible and a whole lot more. And let me be the first to say to you, congratulations and welcome to the family of God.
Yeah, and to get that free New Believers Bible along with the other items in our Growth Pack, just let us know you prayed along with Pastor Greg to receive Christ today. We'll be glad to send our New Believers Growth Pack your way. Call us at 1-800-821-3300. Call anytime. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org and click Know God. Well, next time, Pastor Greg continues his Worldview series with some great insight on where contentment is found. It isn't found where the world tells us to look. Join us here on A New Beginning with pastor and Bible teacher, Greg Laurie.